each of you. We've had a lot of things going on here this weekend. I'm seeing some faces that we've been walking this journey with, so it's good that you're here as well. And we would just like to say, remember to sign the pew cards for our attendance, and also if you have any prayer requests, please let us know that as well. So if you would stand and welcome one another with a handshake of warmth and welcome. We remain standing. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray. Let us now confess our sins to God the Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy and his grace, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and their praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Be with you. Let us pray together. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The first reading today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 3. While the lame man who was now healed clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by your own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witness. and by his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his prophets long ago. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle today comes from the first book of John, chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, and he is righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the book of St. Luke, the 24th chapter. As they were talking about these things that Easter evening, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit, a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise again from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this very day. The text of our gospel today, Luke chapter 24, is one that I hope that you and I will be able to understand and appreciate a bit more as we examine it together. The title for this message is, Can a Real Christian Doubt? I think as you and I examine this and see and understand that this single question perhaps haunts more Christians than any other. It attacks the validity of our faith. If you were to face to face and come to that door, that dreaded door of death, sometimes we wonder if we could walk through it unquestioningly, that our faith would be strong enough to stand the test. Or would it wilt and wither away, simply not strong enough to stand the hour of that trial? Would you and I be destined and doomed to hell because of our final hour that we had fallen into some form of unbelief? That bothers a lot of people. In today's text, a strange thing happened to the 10 disciples who saw the once dead Jesus now standing in their midst alive, resurrected, breathing, and a living and alive. They did two things. Some worshiped and some doubted. They did also understand that as they were dealing with the data, what did all of this mean? Does this ever describe you and me? We worship, we sing, we pray, and sometimes we still have doubts. And that concerns us. It makes us to wonder, will we be able to hang on, to hold in there? Can a real Christian have doubts? What does the Bible, after all, teach on this subject? Will we kick Peter out of heaven, or perhaps Thomas, for doubting Jesus and denying him? Will we be the ones who will be judged because of our refusal? But as they started to see, the disciples saw that there was two opposing informations. My friends, I want to let you know this premise. It is not doubt which damns, it is unbelief. Doubt is not disbelief, it is simply a state of mind that's hesitating in between two situations that seem to be contradicting one another. Jesus' disciples doubted because they had seen Jesus die upon the cross. They had seen all that had happened. They had heard or seen that the Roman spear had been thrust up into Jesus' side. And certainly he was dead as his lifeless and limp body was taken down from that cross and then was laid in a tomb. They asked, how could Jesus both be dead then and alive now? They saw it. And they heard it. And they knew it. But Jesus appears to them behind locked doors. And what does he say in our gospel lesson day? He says, see my hands? See my feet? Remember the nails? And see my side? When you and I start to see the things that are going on in our life, we look at suffering and sickness. We're surrounded sometimes even by death or disease. And we ask the question, Lord, how can that be? And yet you are God all-powerful, God all-knowing, God who is here to answer and help us in our time of need, the one who will never orphan or desert or deny us. Why should we believe and trust? My friends, it's so simple. It's because of God. It's because of Him who makes this promise to us. It is because of His promise to us. And when we start to see that Jesus went through all of the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins and then raised from death on the third day, we know that we have a God who has kept His word. I want you to know, and I've said it before, that I am staking my eternal life, my entire future and destiny upon the death of Jesus Christ. His burial, but also His resurrection. And I pray that you will also. Now, first, the thing that we start to see is that in this biblical account, it's so painfully true. It gives us almost all the embarrassing detail of those who should have been undoubting and simply believing in the words of Jesus, who had warned them and told them multiple times before He was crucified that all of this would happen and that He would raise again from the third day, from death to life. Jesus stood in that locked room and He said, "Place here your finger. See my hands, see my feet." And then He asked, "Do you have anything to eat?" To prove that He was truly human, God in the flesh, risen from death to life. I remember when Desiree and I wanted to look at a new car, the car salesman says, "Well, Pastor, I think this would be a wonderful car for you and your family." I asked him, "Can I take it for a spin? I wanted to sit behind the wheel. I wanted to see the instruments. I wanted to feel the pickup. I wanted to see the brakes. I wanted to see how it handled on the road as well as on the curves. I wanted to see it. I wanted to touch it. I wanted to hear it. I wanted to believe that He was right. This was the right car for us." Jesus allowed the disciples to take Him for a spin, you might say. He allowed them to touch His hand and His feet and to behold that it was really Him, to hear His voice. Now, as you think of a young mother watching and waiting, you can almost see any mother that's had a young child, that she can hear that child, her child, cry and know that out of a group of children crying, which one is hers? It's because she's heard, she's seen, she will touch, and she knows that is hers. That's what Jesus offered the disciples, the senses of being able to touch, of see and handle and place your finger into the hands and the feet of Jesus. Now, history records that about 8 days later, Thomas, who had said, "Unless I see with my own eyes, I'm not believing that Jesus is alive." Jesus stood behind those locked doors a little over a week later, and He said to Thomas, "Put here your finger and place here your hand into the wound of my side and stop being unbelieving." Thomas knelt to the ground and upon touching Jesus and said, "My Lord and my God, You are alive. You have overcome death and the grave. You have indeed promised life." As you and I start to see that, we know and understand from those who are a lot like us, the disciples themselves, who questioned and asked the same things as we did. But the second reason we need to be able to be believing and understanding that Jesus did rise from the dead is because it's consistent with all of Scripture recorded in the Old Testament as well as in the New, predicted and portrayed by Jesus before He was crucified, before He would be tried, and before He would die, that on the third day He would rise again from the dead. That's what we read this morning. My prayer is like Jesus prayed for his disciples, for you, for me. The stuff that we're going through, whatever it is in our personal lives, the things that we see, the things that we hear that are so difficult for us to say, God, you're still with me. I pray that the Lord will show you historically all the things that he's done in your life, how he's kept his word for all those days and all those years and previous situations. But I hope that as you turn your minds and open the pages of God's promises and words to you, the Holy Spirit will open your minds to see the things that God is promising you and how he is still with you. And Jesus, the text tells us, opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, for without the shedding of blood there can be no forgiveness." God's blood was shed for you, my friends. And I want you to know that the next words that Jesus predicted would happen did happen, that on the third day he would rise again from the dead. But there's one more thing that is left for you and for me to do now. And that is that forgiveness would be proclaimed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beginning in Jerusalem, but to be proclaimed to all nations. As you and I think about Trinity Lutheran Church and School, we think of supporting from this congregation a $5 million debt, or building, excuse me, budget, okay, annually. Why is it that we do that? Some of you may say, that's a question I'd like to hear too. But it's simple, my friends. It's because it's our way through our school and through our church of proclaiming the forgiveness of Christ Jesus, of giving hope to a world that is no longer living in any hope, that is standing in darkness, that we have the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ given and to be proclaimed not only amongst ourselves, but to all of those who are in our Jerusalem, the city of Orlando, our neighbors, all the families that come in through our church and school who are present with us on a daily basis. That's why we do it. It's so that they too might spend eternity with us. We have an opportunity to share with them, to give them the keys of eternal life, to promise them that we've seen Jesus, that we believe in this Jesus who suffered and died for our sins and theirs. We believe in this Jesus who is risen from the dead, who gives victory over death and the grave, who gives victory in this life, that nothing in this life can separate us from the love of God. Neither death nor life, things present, things to come, things yet to be seen in heaven or on earth. None of it can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Yesterday we had a memorial service here for my neighbor, my friend, and a man and his wife that were on the way to joining here at Trinity, lifelong Lutherans. In fact, Marge, his wife, taught in our school many years ago. There was a picture on Facebook that showed Ed lying in his hospice bed that less than one day that he was there, clinging to a cross as he was sleeping, with a smile on his face, his hand on his belly, with a cross sticking out as he was clinging to that cross. He was sleeping in the rest of Jesus. The next morning, he'd slip from this life into eternity. But the one thing that went with him was the cross of Christ, that which comforted him, that which he clung to in life and in death for the promise of life everlasting. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, O Lord, are with me. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, help us to cling to Christ and the promises he gives us and the victory he gives us in his resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stay. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. And Savior Jesus, help us during our times of doubt and discouragement to realize that we sometimes simply have to pray the prayer that was prayed by a man asking Jesus for help with his son. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Help me, O Lord, help each of us to work through and to look at and to see that at such times it is the Holy Spirit who is at work in our lives, hammering out, strengthening, and fortifying our faith. For that we give you thanks, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, working through the waters of baptism where we were clothed and claimed by you, that you were working into our hearts a faith, a strengthening of our faith, a renewal of our faith, a regeneration of our minds. For these things, O Lord, and so many others, as we turn the pages of your word, we see, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit is opening our minds as it did on the day with the disciples, opening our minds to receive and to understand that the promises there spoken are promises you speak also to us. Yes, Lord, help us to believe and to trust fully in the fact that you are our one and true Lord, who is always with us, and that nothing in this life or world or the life to come can separate us from your love for us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we ask that you would bless and be with this congregation and school, that you would protect and provide every opportunity for the gospel to be proclaimed. From the children that come on Monday through Friday, to the teachers as they tell the wondrous good news in classroom math as well as science, but also that the children are seeing and seeing your presence in all the classes that are taught. Be with Dr. Brockberg, each of our teachers, all of our staff. Bless also the church and its ministry with its leadership. All who are on staff, we pray your holy protection and your peace that surpasses all human understanding. We ask also for the lay leadership of this congregation that your blessing would be upon them, but especially upon this household of faith called Trinity Lutheran Church. May you inspire, encourage, empower, and send us to proclaim the wondrous good news of the forgiveness that is ours in you, Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we also pray that you would be with all that we do, that it may satisfy you and be with you a blessing as we carry it out. Be with our nation, especially in the Middle East. Be with those who are in harm's way. May you provide protection. May you show us a plan for peace that will bring lasting peace. Be with our president and our Congress. Be with our nation and those that have joined our nation. Be with the people of Syria as well, that they may come to know you as Lord and Savior, and to rest on your promises, and to see your way, and the justice that it brings. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, hear now the prayer requests that have been requested.
Heavenly Father, we ask for prayers of comfort, grace, and mercy for the Tesh family, and in particular, Luis Tesh, who is in the final stages, the terminal stages of passing away. Through your grace and mercy, Father, she knows her future home. We ask also, Lord, for prayers for Ursula Lewis, prayers of sorrow and prayers of joy. She has passed into the kingdom of God, and those who had the good fortune of knowing her on earth know she was an angel on earth with a beautiful, gracious smile. And we can know, as she does, that she is now an angel in heaven. Lord, in your mercy.
We together pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On the same night in which our Lord and Savior Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had broken it, he blessed it, and then he gave it to his disciples, and he said, Take and eat, this is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup after he had supped, and he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples. And he said, Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. As often as we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. You have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the holy supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and who reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. I've got a few here, and you've got a few. Why don't you take the 9:30 worship one, which also is for now, but for you, that second one, and also the blue cards, and then I'll take the others. Thanks. I think it's the second and third one. Just a few items here, one of which you noticed that we have a lot of items up here in front of the lectern. They weren't just dropped off here. As one of our members that came last evening at 6:30, who has two little dogs herself, she said, my two girls, if they were here and they were looking at all this pile of dog items, she said, they would think Santa Claus comes here to a church to give us gifts. And they were all excited about the many things that were seen. And I would just like to say that, Trinity, thank you for opening your hearts and your minds and donating so many items, most of which you here see. And we would like to take a second to bless these at this point. Lord and Savior Jesus, all of these items that are gathered here and those that are still remaining to be gathered, we ask that you would bless them for their intended purpose of bringing joy and comfort to people who will be able to place their hands upon these dogs. Help them to be a ministry that will bring our congregation into places where the gospel is sorely needed, where they simply need to touch and to see the kindness and the grace of God. And through these comfort dogs, may this ministry be blessed and be a blessing. May you bless our handlers. May you bless the care and the dog itself. And we ask, O Lord, that you would be with all who will be handlers, who will be soon traveling to Chicago and receive their handler training in June, and returning home on the 24th with our comfort dog, Trinity's comfort dog. Lord, we give you thanks in Jesus' holy name. And may you bless all of these items. We also would like to remind you that there will be a puppy dog shower luncheon thanking people who have been a part of that ministry. I'd just like to say there's several of you who are here right now. Would you please stand up? You're very intimately involved with the puppy dog ministry, the comfort dog ministry. And Beth, I see you've got your shirt on, so you can't, and there you go, Lynn. And I've got my black shirt on, but yes. May God bless you in all that you're going to be doing and involved with as well. Also, I would like to just make an announcement that today we're only 3 short days away. Wednesday of this week, we're actually beginning our next Foundations class. And there's 16 people already that have been identified and will be with us. But we hope if you're one of those that would also like to come, we would love to invite you and welcome you to that Foundation class. It will begin at 6:30 with some fellowship and start the class at 7 p.m. and run until 8:30. We need to make sure that's understood, too. So as we gather together, we'll be covering the 6 teachings, the main teachings out of Scripture, and also we're going to add 2. And those will be how to read your Bible and understand it, and last but not least, how to share your faith in Christ. So we thank you, and we hope and we pray that you may consider being a part of that. So God's blessings to you. May we now join together in our closing hymn, Thine Amen, Thine the Praise. Peace and serve the Lord with joy.